This evening, I want to talk to you about worship. I want to talk to you a little bit about opportunities and times that we seem to worship God. But I want you to understand that worship is such a powerful thing. And over the years as a Christian, and I remember as a young Christian in particular, worship was my favorite thing. Having an opportunity to worship God, but especially in church. My prayer time and my worship time at home was so wonderful. But there was something so special about coming together in church with other believers and us raising our faith and our voices to heaven, raising our hands and our hearts to heaven, and just touching the hem of the Lord's garment and seeing Him move. I've been in worship services where the power of God was so strong. The presence of God was so strong that Pastor Harold, my pastor, had no option. He couldn't preach. It was not possible for him to preach because the atmosphere of the presence of God was so thick in that room that the worship just continued and continued, and the people were so engaged with God. And my desire is for us, you know, the Lord gave me a word many years ago that this would be a house of prayer and a house of worship. I believe that we're a house of prayer. We can always do better, but we really do believe in the power of prayer. But I also believe that God is calling us deeper with our worship. In this week, while I was busy preparing this, you know, I was looking at times that it seems we worship God more. There are certain occasions and certain things that happen in our lives, and in those moments, we'll have a tendency to worship God. You know, there's the story in the scriptures about the woman in the well, and I don't want to read the whole story, but it's so difficult not to read the whole story, so I'm just going to read the whole story. And I know you know it so well, but it's one of those stories where I'm reading it, I'm going, well, I'll start in this verse, and then I'm like, no, but I can't leave that out. And so I'm going to read it to you because it's such a beautiful story. Let's go to John 4, verse 5. This is not the message, but there's just one part I want to grab out of here, and I want to give you some real food for thought this evening. John 4, verse 5, it says, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sikla, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped, now watch, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. I want you to see that there's this perceived debate or perception. These guys have an idea. The one group, the Samaritans, believed that the place where they should worship God was on the mountain over there. And the Jews believed that it was in Jerusalem. And they believed that those were the only places, they were the places that God had set apart for worship. And this is what they believed. They believed these were the exclusive and only places that one could truly worship the Lord. Verse 21. And Jesus said to the woman, believe me, the hour is coming when You will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And in that moment, her life was turned inside out, upside down, and she was never the same again, because she had encountered the one that she desired to worship. So powerful. What's incredible is that the Bible speaks about the Father who is seeking such to worship him. He's seeking true worshipers, those that will worship in spirit and in truth. Now, there's a lot of teaching on this. The reality is that each and every one of us kind of like have maybe our favorite places where we encounter God. I spoke a little bit about that a few weeks ago. Maybe places where we worship God. You know, they believe that you could only worship in a certain place. And the truth is that God is looking for people who will worship him, and they will worship him in spirit and truth. They will worship him with their whole hearts. They will desire to go after him. We as a church love to worship him together here at Oceans in the building. Amen. Okay, great. I'm so encouraged. We also worship him at home. But if you look at scripture, you'll see a few occasions that seem to repeat themselves over and over. And I think that in our own lives, it's when these certain things take place in our lives that we have a tendency to worship him more. Or let me say it like this. It's easier for us to worship him, or these situations cause us to worship him. The first one I want to bring up is we worship him when we need him, when we need a miracle, when we need a breakthrough. Let's go to Matthew 8, verse number 1. Watch this. Matthew 8, verse number 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. They were following Jesus. And behold, a leper. I want to point out that the leper was obviously sick with leprosy. He had a need. So when he came to Jesus, the Bible says, and behold, a leper came. And look at what he does. He worships him. He falls down and he worships, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Is there anything wrong with this? Absolutely not. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. He has a need. And he goes and he worships the one who can meet the need. Come on, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a need? Have you ever been desperate for a breakthrough, for a miracle? You need the Lord to touch you. You need the Lord to step into a situation. Come on, how many of you in that moment, it's a little easier to worship? Let's be honest. You know, when I have a need, the worship music goes on. And I don't believe that there's any, again, there's nothing wrong. The Lord loves it that we trust in him. We put our faith in him. I honestly believe even the worship is an act of faith. So it's one of those areas or one of those things that will take place in our lives where we will automatically, as believers, have a desire to go to him, to worship him, because he is the one who can touch us. He's the one who can heal us. He can meet the need. He can touch us, bring peace, bring joy, bring deliverance. He's the one who does it. So when we have a need, we worship him. The second time that I see in scripture, many times that we have a tendency to go and worship God is when our faith is high. This was a difficult one to kind of categorize. It's when our faith is high, when we see God move. How many of you, when you have seen the Lord move, when you see a miracle, when you see God do something supernatural in your life, or you see a breakthrough? So the one time it's before the breakthrough, now it's after the breakthrough, you've seen God do something supernatural, and the response is you worship. There's a great story in Scripture where the disciples see Jesus do something unbelievable, something that only God could do. I'm not going to read the whole story, but basically, if you go to Matthew 14, 22, we're not going to go there. We know the story where Jesus is walking on the water. Peter gets out of the boat. Peter begins to sink. All the disciples are watching Jesus walk on the water. How many of you think that's pretty supernatural? And Peter's busy sinking. So if you go to, let's go to Matthew 14, let's go to 31. Matthew 14, 31. And Jesus, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, that's Peter, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now watch. When they saw what had taken place, then those who were in the boat came and did what? They worshipped. Come on, when God has moved, when God has done something, then when someone's sick and the healing takes place, after that moment, guys, it's easy to worship. And it's good to do it. It's honorable. We should worship. There's a story about the blind men. They go and they get healed. Was it the lepers? John, do you remember? Lepers, the lepers. They go and they get healed and only one comes back to worship. Don't be the nine, be the one. Be the one who comes back to worship. But it's true, when we see the hand of God, worshiping is a response that we have, a good response, but it's kind of natural. At least it should be. So the first thing is we have a tendency to be able to worship God or to go to God when we have the need. The second thing is we go to God after we see him do something mighty. Man, I remember when we got the first building. And I walked into the building, this little sanctuary, and it's such a long story, but I remember walking back into the sanctuary after I'd looked at the building. It was this tiny building. I was so excited because it was a miracle. I mean, the way God lined it up, it was so incredible. And I remember standing in the building and saying, this can't happen. Like, how could this can't be? Because the prophecies and the words and the thing is the way it all happened. And in that moment, you just begin to worship because you know it's a supernatural act. I'm sure anyone in this room will know of moments that you've had like that. And then suddenly the response is to worship. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. The next story I want to share with you, or the next point, is we worship him when we're in the valley. We worship him when we're in trouble, when we're in the storm, when we're in the valley, when we're going through stuff. Now, you see, you didn't get too excited because we don't all do that. When it's not going so great, sometimes it's more difficult to worship. But I want to show you a great story. We all know it, but let's read it anyway. Acts 16, verse 16, and yes, I'm going to read the whole thing. Acts 16, 16. Now it happened as we went to pray that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. Now watch this. Dragged them into the marketplace to all the authorities. They didn't just say, "Come, boys." They dragged them. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. What a great way to end the evening. I need you to understand that they've been beaten, they've been dragged in the city, And verse 23 says, and when they laid their hand, when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailers to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Everybody say, but at midnight. See, at midnight, they began to worship. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the prison, after being beaten. Listen, there's no victory in that, guys. The Bible says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. We see in Scripture many times a desire to worship when we need God for breakthrough. We see in Scripture many times that after the breakthrough, people worship. We don't find as many stories of people who worship in the midst of the prison or in the midst of being beaten. But I tell you, so often when we do, it's in those moments that people have the greatest breakthroughs. So I want to encourage you this evening that if you are going through a storm or some kind of prison or some kind of situation, don't stop worshiping, because it's the worship that could be the very thing that gives you the breakthrough. Amen. The next thing is really difficult, but so powerful. And this is really what I want to talk to you about this evening. We need to learn to worship Him in the midst of tragedy. I want to tell you that in your life, please take this the right way. You will not have many moments like this. Please God. But when you do, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity that is rare. And in that moment, you could go completely crazy. You could be angry. You could have all this stuff. And even if you do, which wouldn't be abnormal or not understandable, you still have an opportunity. I'm sure you know the story of King David, who was the greatest king other than Jesus in Scripture. We know that. And David, you know, sees Bathsheba and commits adultery with her, and then to try and cover it up, he tries to get Uriah, her husband, to, you know, come home and be with his wife, but he's such an honorable man that he won't do it because his fellow soldiers are still at war. And so David does the only thing he can to try and cover up his sin. He has him killed. And so David's committed a terrible, terrible sin and a terrible crime. And Nathan the prophet comes to him and tells him that basically that the sword is not going to depart from his home and a tragedy is about to strike. And David's son becomes so sick. Now watch this. Let's go to 2 Samuel 12, verse 16. The child is basically dying. And it says there, it says, David therefore, 2 Samuel 12, 16, David therefore pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground. But he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day, it came to pass that the child died. So for 7 days, David was fasting and praying and in sackcloth and ashes and crying out to God for the deliverance of this child. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. And then David saw that his servants were whispering, and David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. And so David arose from the ground, watch this, and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And this is where it gets so powerful. And he went into the house of the Lord and he worshiped. Man, this is difficult, guys. Let's be honest. And I'm not necessarily talking about a tragedy like this. It can be any kind of tragedy that you go through that affects your life so severely. But in that moment, there are, on rare occasions, those that choose, even in the midst of that great pain, which is totally understandable, and nothing I wish on, not anything I wish on anybody. But let's be honest, in life, you are going to experience loss, whether it be a father or a mother, a brother or a sister, a child, which is, I think, the worst thing ever. But at some point in your life, you are going to experience, it's the way life goes. I think about my grandparents. I never thought when I was younger, I was so blessed. I had four grandparents, all four of them. Loved them all. But they all died. And it was difficult. And now my parents are getting older. I don't know how long they're going to be here. Hopefully for a while still, amen. But I know the day will come where I'll have to face that. And when that does happen, I know the hurt and the pain will be real. But there is something that gives you. It's a rare opportunity to worship. I need you to hear my heart. Watch what David says. This is so powerful. Watch this. It says, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Now you must understand, they're watching him thinking, this guy is a loony. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servant said to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But then the child died and you rose and ate food. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? Listen, this is a struggle that many people will go through in some or other way. Now watch what he says, but now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? Now watch this. I shall go to him. He shall not return to me. David knew that he was going to see him again. As a believer, you must understand that you have that promise. The Old Testament saints, they knew it. David knew, listen, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do what I can to keep this child alive. I'm going to cry out to God. But once he doesn't do it, I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to turn against him, even though that is hard. Let's be honest. But David chose to take that opportunity and to go and worship. You can worship him when you need a miracle. You can worship him after you've experienced the breakthrough and the miracle. We can worship him when we see him do something supernatural. Our faith is up, or when we're in the valley. But when tragedy comes or something really hard happens in our life, will we continue to worship even in that moment? I believe, you know, it's not an easy subject, but the truth is that you're all going to experience this. So I want to challenge you, because as I said before, I want you to hear me out. You will not have many opportunities like that. When you have it, worship, guys. Because the only place you can strengthen yourself is in the Lord. He renews your strength. Now, I want to show you something. Watch this. I'm almost done. Watch this. The book of Acts says this about David. In Acts 13:22, It says, and when he had removed him, this is Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. When I read to you the story of the woman at the well, I read to you a story where Jesus tells her, listen, there will be those that will be true worshipers, who will worship in spirit and truth. I truly believe that a true worshiper will worship through everything. A true worshiper will worship when they need the breakthrough, when they've had the breakthrough. They'll worship when they're in the midst of the fire, when they're in the midst of the prison. And they'll even worship when they're going through tragedy. I know that God is looking for those who will worship, not on this mountain or on that mountain, but at every opportunity. And I really felt in my heart that maybe you're here and maybe you're watching online. Maybe you've been through tragedy and it's been difficult for you to deal with. But I wanna challenge you this evening. If you didn't do it then, do it now. Let's take a moment, even in our pain, or maybe you're not having any pain. Maybe you've never had that. That's wonderful. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you've just had a miracle. I don't know where you are in any of those situations that I presented this evening. But I want to ask you this evening, will you take a moment to worship, to be a true worshiper? Listen, we can come to church and sing 20 songs. But what's most important is your heart. See, David, even when things went bad, continued to worship. He chose the Lord no matter what. You guys are so quiet. I know it's a heavy subject, but really it isn't. Because I love what David says. Listen, I can't bring him, but I'm going to go to him. Amen. I'm going to go to him. And when you serve the Lord and you walk with him, that's a guarantee. Amen. So I want to encourage you this evening, no matter where you are in your story, in your race, what you've been through, what you've gone through, no one can know your pain, your hurt, but you have an opportunity to worship him. So I'm going to ask Ashley to sing a song for us. And let's all stand for just a moment. And maybe your heart is breaking even now for something that you've been through. But we can cast our burdens to him. And we can take this opportunity this evening and begin to worship. You may not be in that place, but maybe you're in a different place. Take this opportunity tonight to give your burdens and your yokes and your heaviness to him and choose to worship. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is good, guys. And he loves each and every one of us so much. And I believe he wants to meet with you tonight. So tonight, wherever you're at, choose to worship. Choose to worship him in Jesus' name.
Look upon your countenance. see the fullness of your grace. And I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome.
Father, tonight in this place, we worship you because you are great and greatly to be praised, worthy of worship, worthy of honor. You have saved us, delivered us, touched us. But Father, each and every one of us goes through different things. And I just pray this evening, Lord, that no matter what our hurt is, no matter what our pain is, no matter what our struggle is, and I know those things are real, even in the midst of it, Lord, we will always choose worship. The devil can steal so much, but he cannot steal our worship. Because we choose to worship you in the valleys and on the mountains, in the good times and in the bad times, when things are great, when things are not great. We choose to worship. You have given everything to us. You have given us life and life more abundant. And even in this place, your presence is here, Lord. We are so grateful. I pray you move upon the hearts of each and every person. I can really sense that there are so many, even watching online, that you know what I'm talking about. You've been through some stuff. And it's like even tonight, this one song of worship has given you an opportunity to experience his love, his goodness, his kindness, his grace and his mercy. Just fill them up, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we can take even those the worst moments and worship. And worship. We choose you, Lord. We choose to worship you. We love you and we honor you and we thank you. Just take a moment. I'm not going to close quite yet. Just take a moment right there where you are. Just continue, Lord, to do what you're busy doing over your precious people. Lord, we come to you tonight and we strengthen ourselves in the Lord of hosts, the God of all creation, the one who was and is to come, that still breathes upon his people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a clap? Amen. Amen. I'm gonna close the service and let you go. I'm gonna invite anybody up that needs prayer. I'll be here. Some of the leaders will be up here. We'll be happy to pray for you for any needs, any sickness, anything that you need. We're here for you. Otherwise, God bless you guys. We love you and we will see you tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Amen.